Stand and grab your Bible this morning. Turn to Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament for you college students. In Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3 this morning. Share a thought from this particular passage. Malachi chapter 3. I know some of you are already thinking that Pastor's going to preach on tithing this morning out of Malachi chapter 3 in verse number 10. But I'm not. But since you brought it up, you ought to tithe. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now that that's over with, we'll get to the main message this morning. Malachi chapter 3, I want you to look at verse number 13. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, verse 13 through 18. Interesting, God's speaking to the children of Israel and Israel speaking to God. Verse 13 says, "Your words," God speaking to them, says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken verse number 13 again, it says, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Verse 14 says this, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" Verse 15 says, "And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now, church family, before we sit down, I want you to just point out just a couple words here, and then I want to preach for a few moments this morning. But the phrase I want you to notice is in verse 14. Look back at your Bible now in verse 14. It says, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God." Now, this is the thought going through here about serving God. Jump down to verse number 17, the last phrase. It says, "As a man spareth his own son that serveth him." And then look at verse 18. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the thought this morning. Is it vain to serve God? Is it vain to serve God? That's what the children of Israel said. And that's a good question. So we'll look at that this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, and I'll pray out loud. You pray in your heart. Ask the Lord to speak to you this morning. Father, thank you again for the Bible. Lord, I ask you to please again help us this morning to see very clearly from Scripture. It's not vain to serve you. So many times in this life, it's easy to think that. And Lord, I ask you to please help us to leave here with a conviction. Serving you is what you want us to do, but serving you is worth it. Thank you again for loving us, giving your son Jesus to die for us. Now, Father, bless the service. Bless your people. Lord, if there's someone not saved this morning, not for sure of heaven, help them to come to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May be seated. Thank you so much. Last night we went to the prison, ladies' prison. Two people accepted Christ as their Savior last night. Probably a crowd of 30 or so was in the, it was ICEL, maximum security prison last night. Listen, you might be here this morning. I want to tell you, if you were the only one this morning that wasn't for sure of heaven, I hope that before you leave, you let someone take a Bible and show you. At the prison service, we have a side room, and the person's able to go to the side room, and they'll take just 5-6 minutes, take them, show them, go through the Romans Road or the Bible, show how a person can know for sure they're on the way to heaven. Listen, if you have any doubt in your mind, again, you're here this morning, whether you're a member or not, whether you're a visitor or not, I just want you to understand that Jesus Christ died for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that's everybody. If you're not saved this morning, I hope that you'll come to Christ this morning. I want to talk to you more so to Christians this morning out of Malachi chapter 3. God is speaking to the children of Israel. If you know anything about the book, this is God's dialogue with Israel. Israel asked several questions. God answered their question. Look at chapter 1 with me, and again, just by way of introduction, Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 says, again, this is what the book's about, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." This was not Malachi's words, these are God's words. This is God's burden for Israel by Malachi the prophet. Verse 2 says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?" Now, I just want you to understand that God is talking to the children of Israel. This is a post-captivity. This was after the children of Israel had went into captivity for 70 years. They come back, and God's speaking with them. And again, there's a lot of major questions and answers, even like chapter number 3, where it talks about the question was in chapter 3, look at the last phrase, verse number 7. It says, "But ye said, wherein shall we return?" And then, of course, verse 8, 9, 10, 11, God says, "I want to tell you where you need to begin is go back to giving your tithes and offerings." So it was really a questioning and answering between God and the children of Israel. Now, Trishima, the question and answer I want to deal with this morning is verse 13's question. God said to the children of Israel, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say," here's their question, Israel's question, "what have we spoken so much against thee?" Now, Church Family, stay with me this morning. I don't think it'll be very long this morning, but here's what's going on. The children of Israel, God's speaking to the children of Israel, and God says, hey, listen, your words have been against me. And the children of Israel says, okay, so what did we say about you? All right, now look what God said in verse number 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now, Church Family, I want to tell you something. The children of Israel's question is no different than a lot of Christians' questions, and that's the idea of is what am I getting out of my service for God? Now, think about it. Their statement was, was there any profit? In this. Am I on upstairs, Brother Flowers? I don't hear myself. Why am I upstairs? Okay, I just want to make sure. I apologize for stopping. But the question was, is there any profit in serving God? Now, Church Family, I want to tell you something. A lot of Christians, your motive for serving God is wrong. It's not about what profit you get out of it. But that's what the children of Israel were thinking. The children of Israel were thinking to themselves, hey, listen, what profit is it for me to bring the offerings to the temple? What profit is it for me to do all of the ordinances that God had commanded Israel to do? Now, I want to tell you something. God's commandments are not grievous. I want to tell you, the Christian life is not something that's hard. The Christian life is something that's enjoyable. And what happens is Satan sometimes brings things our ways to cause us to get discouraged. Like, oh man, the Christian life, it's so hard. And, you know, I have to do this and I have to do that. I just want you to understand, I didn't have to do anything. Christ did it all. I just want you to understand, I'm saved by grace, not by works. I just want you to understand that Jesus paid it all. And when he died up on the cross, he said very clearly in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace, that's God's part, for by grace, God's favor, for by grace are you saved through faith, faith is my part. I just simply have to believe and receive. Now, I just want you to understand that what I do for Christ beyond salvation is because I want to please my Lord and Savior. What I do beyond salvation is not to get saved or stay saved. What I do beyond salvation is because I want to please the one who saved me. Amen. It's like getting the horse and the cart mixed up. I want to tell you something. We don't do works in order to get saved. We do works because we're saved. All right? So can I tell you this morning, the children of Israel were looking at their service for God in a wrong manner. And so many times we as Christians, if we're not careful, we get looking at our service for God in a wrong manner. Why do I need to go soul winning? Why do I need to help and serve over here in a Sunday school class or on a bus route? Or why do I need to go to the prison or the jail? Or why do I need to help out at the church over here in this area? Can I tell you, our service for God is not about what we get out of it. Our service for God is because of who we're doing it for. There's a big difference. So here the children of Israel ask this question, is it vain? The word vain means useless. Is it vain to serve God? Now, I want to give you the conclusion before I get through the introduction. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Our service is not in vain in the Lord. And I just want you to understand, I already saw the last chapter. I know how this thing ends. And I just want you to know, if you're a Christian this morning, giving to God, serving God, loving God, worshiping God, and putting God first place in your life is not useless. Amen. It's not useless. Church, I mean, can I tell you something? Churches are folding up all over the place because Christians are going to church and they don't see the usefulness. They don't see the reason for why they're coming to church, why they're serving God, why they're putting God first. And the children of Israel were no different. Hey, God speaks to them. And by the way, isn't it interesting? God knew what they were thinking. God says, hey, listen, you're a little stout on what you're saying about me. And Israel said, well, what are we saying about you? And God told them, hey, you say it's a vain thing to serve God. Now, I want to show you why they thought it was a vain thing. Number one, because they were looking for profit. But there's something else there. Look at verse number, verse 14 again. Verse 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Question mark. Look at verse 15. And now we call, now think about this, the we there, talking about the children of Israel. Now we call the proud what? Yea, they that work wickedly are what? And then they said, yea, they that tempt God are what? All right, now church family, think for just a moment here. Again, walking through the passage, through the verses here, think about what they're saying. Hey, Israel, you're getting awful stout in what you're saying about me. Israel's response, well, what are we saying about you? God says, you say it's a vain thing to serve God. Then Israel says, But hey, it is a vain thing because what profit are we getting out of it? And not only that, how come those who are proud in verse 15 are happy? How come those who work wickedly seem to be set up? And how come those who tempt you are even delivered? Hey, if serving you is not useless, how come all these people who are not serving you seem so happy? Are you all with me tonight? This morning? You understand what he's saying here? Hey, I want to tell you something. We get to the place where we start looking at the people who are not serving God as the person who's got it all, and we look at the person who's serving God who has nothing. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. Now, God's going to answer their question. Is it vain to serve God? I just want you to know it's not vain to serve God. Hey, was it vain that you got up this morning and had your devotions? No, it wasn't useless. Hey, was it vain this morning when you dropped your tithe into the offering plate? No, it wasn't vain this morning. It wasn't useless. Is it vain when you hand out that Christmas tract yesterday at the Christmas parade and you handed out thousands of tracts handed out? When those tracts were handed out, that was not a vain thing. Now, God's going to answer, is it vain to serve the Lord? Look at the next verse now. Verse number 16, it says this. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, just remember, I just want you to understand, first of all, the reason it's not vain to serve the Lord is because God remembers the righteous. Did you see in verse number 16, a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feareth the Lord and that thought upon his name? Now, church, I want to tell you, I've got a terrible memory, but God doesn't have a bad memory. You know why? Well, number one, he's God. Number two, he wrote it down. A book of remembrance of all them that fear him and those that thought upon his name. Hey, can I just tell you this morning, God did some writing about you. You know, I keep a journal, and in that journal, I try to just write a little bit about each day, and I put a picture with it in my journal. I can keep one picture with it. It's an electronic-type journal. I've been doing it for years now, and as far as the picture and as far as a little bit about the day, and throughout the day, I'll write a sentence or two in as the day goes along, and maybe some major things. I'll write down what I preached this morning during Sunday school, what I preached this morning during the morning service. If there's any particular results, I'll write down this afternoon where I'll be and what I'll be doing. I'll write about if I'm at men's prayer meeting and of course, the teacher's meeting, and then, of course, the evening service. I'll write all of those things in my journal. It's a way for me to remember. I don't know how many times I've looked back at that journal. I was at the prison last night. I was preaching a message, and I was curious because I preach at ICEL, JCEL, and Central, and I can't remember exactly. I'll go back in my journal and find out, hey, did I preach that at ICEL anytime soon, or have I ever preached that this particular thought? Hey, can I tell you something? God keeps a journal. You know what it's about? It's about you. Amen. It's about you. Hey, can I tell you that when you went and knocked on that person's door yesterday and you asked them, hey, listen, are your children coming to Sunday school in the morning? Can I tell you when you got up this morning at 5 o'clock to get ready and you were on a bus by 7 this morning and you got on that bus and you went and picked up children for Sunday school that God was writing in his journal this morning? Can I tell you that serving God is not vain? It's not useless? Can I tell you he's got a book of remembrance? And I want to tell you something. It's really a sad shame, but some of your books are going to be really short. Can I tell you, it's not a vain thing because God remembers the righteous. He remembers exactly what we do for him. It's not a vain thing. And God says, just like in verse number 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Hey, can I tell you something? You're a child of God. You're a son that serveth God. And I want to tell you something, as a child of God, God takes very special note of you and care of you. And you think to yourself, this winter it's going to get cold, and you're going to be knocking on the door and your hands are going to be freezing, and you're going to be thinking, what use is this? And I just want you to understand, there is use in it, because serving God is not a vain thing. So Israel, you think it's a vain thing? You think there's no profit in it? I just want you to know, I write down every time you bring me an offering. I just want you to know, I write down every time you worship me in spirit and in truth. He says, I take note of those things. And God remembers those things. Church, I want to tell you something. There's no doubt there's people in this room. There's a difference between a do minister and a have minister. And there's some of you that used to put God first place in your life, and you were close to God and serving God, and you spent your income to serve God, and you spent your time to serve God. And I want to tell you something. Do not let age or time or even let a cold, backslidden spirit get you to the place where you think it's not worth it. I just want you to understand it is worth it. And I want you to understand that God says it's worth it. And serving God is not something we do for us. Serving God is something we do for Him. And church family, we couldn't do enough for Him. We couldn't do enough for Him. All eternity? Hey, listen, it's not a vain thing to serve God. The reason it's not a vain thing to serve God is because God remembers the righteous. But it doesn't stop there. I know you think that's the end of the chapter, but there were no chapters or divisions when this was written. Church family, look back to verse 16 for a second. Verse 15. Remember what the children of Israel, they were saying, hey, listen, the proud, verse 15, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Remember how they were talking about these different types of people who they seemingly had everything and they weren't serving God? Look what God says about them in chapter 4 and verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the what? Proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, verse 2 says, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth, grow up, and as the calves do, as the calves of the stall. Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, church, I just want you to understand, is it a vain thing to serve God? I want to tell you it's not. You know why? Because God remembers the righteous. But I want to tell you why. Number two, there's only 2 points today. Some of you should be really happy. Some of you say amen. You know why it's not a vain thing to serve God? Because God's going to judge the wicked. Can you hear Israel and God having this dialogue? Israel, I hear your stout words. And what words might that be? I'll tell you what the words are. You say it's a vain thing to serve me. You say there's no profit in it. You look at the proud and those who do wickedly. And those who supposedly tempt me, and how I let them go on their merry little way. And you act as if it's a better life than what the life that you're living as you bring your offerings and do the ordinances. And God says, I just want you to understand something. It's not useless. It's not a vain thing to serve me. And I want to tell you why. Because I remember every good deed you do, and I remember everything you do of service for me. And not only do I remember what you do, but I just want you to know there's a day coming, and I'm going to judge the wicked. Church family, I want to tell you something. God says very clearly in 2 Corinthians, he says, listen, to measure ourselves by ourselves and to compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter if it's a lost person or if it's a saved person. God doesn't want you to compare yourself with somebody else. Amen. When you look in the mirror, look at you. The perfect law of liberty. When we look into the scriptures, we find out that what we are, we don't have to judge somebody else or what somebody else does. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an answer for ourselves to God. Well, so-and-so's a member of this church, and they've been a member a lot longer than I have, and they don't go soul winning. That doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't matter. What matters is what are you doing for God? Well, man alive, I've been working in this particular ministry forever and no one ever says thank you. You are not doing service for God so that someone can pat you on the back. You're doing service for God because of who you're doing it for. Church, I mean, there is a God in heaven and He notices every good thing that you do and God keeps note of it and God's going to reward you, I promise you. But I also want you to understand that if you're not serving God, God will judge you also. If you're lost, you'll be judged at the great white throne judgment. If you're saved, you'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. I understand the judgment seat of Christ is the Bema seat, but God says that we'll be judged for our works at the judgment seat of Christ. It really doesn't matter if I serve God. Really? God said it does. God said it does. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. Can I tell you that God wants us to make sure our service is for Him? It's not for man. It's not to man. I know we serve as for man. I know we're serving the lost. I know that we're serving saved. You know, to evangelize the lost, edify the saved. But church family, our service is directly for Him. And as we serve Him, we serve others. But so many times we are looking so much horizontally instead of looking vertically to see that God's the one looking down upon us and He's the one that's going to reward us according to our doings. And church family, I want to tell you, some of you have been saved a long time, and day in and day out and year after year, you've put God first and you served him. And I just want you to understand, according to the last verse, that number one, yes, God remembers the righteous. Number two, yes, God's going to judge the wicked. But number three, and last of all, I'm going to add a third point in anyway. Some of you wouldn't have felt like you went home with a message if you didn't have 3 points. Look at your Bible again for just a second here in chapter 4 and verse number 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. Hey, I just want you to understand that, yes, God remembers the righteous, but God will judge the wicked. But I also want to tell you, number three, God's going to reward the righteous also. There's a day coming that God's going to bless you for what you're doing. And I want to tell you something. You're not going to get the applaud now, and you're not going to get the praise of man now, but there's a God in heaven that notices every single thing that you do. Every time that you help those bus kids get on a bus, and every time that you watch a nursery and take care of a dirty diaper and take care of a child in the nursery, every time you stand up and teach a Sunday school class, every time that you help people outside of the church, and you're helping people, and maybe a time that you're either passing a track or giving the gospel or just doing what God wanted you to do, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. Every time you do those things, I just want you to understand God's going to reward all of that. You know, I don't know if bitter is the right word, but sometimes Christians backslide or become bitter, but they backslide, and the reason they backslide is because they get discouraged because they're not being recognized for what they're doing. You know, the one thing about mankind is all of us like to be needed, and all of us like to feel like we're appreciated. Amen. That's a humanity thing. We all like to feel needed, and we all like to feel appreciated. But church family, can I tell you, there's going to be times in the Christian life you're going to get neither. But I just want you to understand, serving God is not in vain. Not in vain. Hey, you bus workers, it was cool this morning, but if you've been around here during wintertime, it's going to get colder. I want to tell you something, church family. If you have never got to experience getting on a bus at 7 in the morning and sitting on a cold seat, you have missed it. Because those seats don't warm up on the bus until you've been at least halfway through the route. Or unless you can get someone to go sit on your seat and then move them and sit on their warm one. Those seats are ice cold. And you sit there and shiver and freeze to death for the first 3 or 4 stops until you get to the first, till the heaters finally start to warm up on that bus. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm cold. You know, if you've never gone to a prison service and you've prepared and you've gotten things ready and then 5 people show up for the service and you're speaking to 5 people and you think, man, I prepared this message for 1,000. Where are they? You know, there's a lot of letdowns in service for God. If you've never gone out soul winning, whether it's, and there's opposites to that. Go out in the summertime when it's 100 degrees outside, and you know, you just try to stand in the shade so the sweat only drips instead of pours. And you're walking door to door, and your sweat's going down your back, and your clothes are sticking to you, and you're knocking on the door, and nobody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ while you're out. You're going to have times in your life where you're putting your offering into the plate and you know you don't have enough money for the week. There's going to be times in your life that you're going to be misinterpreted, where a person looks at your life and they judge you, and it's really not what you're thinking or why you're doing it, but everyone's got their preconceived idea of why you're doing what you're doing. Can I tell you something? Throughout the Christian life, there's going to be a host of things that are going to take place while you're serving God. And you think to yourself, what is the use of it? I've been here long enough to see people that have come and go, and people who have been here for years and leave because they got to a place in their life where they felt like they weren't appreciated, where they felt like they were not needed. And they started looking this direction instead of looking upward. They were looking at what man thought of them instead of what God thought of them, and they quit. I just want you to understand, your service for God is not vain. And I want to tell you something. Your service for God is not answered by who is watching you. Your service is not a matter of, does the pastor know, or does he want me to do this? I just want you to understand, there's something a whole lot bigger than the church member next to you and a whole lot bigger than the pastor who stands by the pulpit. It's called the God of heaven. And he sees your heart, and he sees your motive, and he sees what you're doing. And don't be discouraged. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And don't get like the children of Israel and say, this is vain, this is useless, why are we doing this? God makes it really clear. I've got a book of remembrance. I take note of everything. I know what you're doing. He says, I just want you to understand that let not thine heart envy sinners, Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end. You know, as an United States of America, I'm a citizen. I'm glad I'm in the United States of America. But sometimes I get really irritated with what our world is doing. You know, we want to shut God out, and we want to make it not politically correct to say we believe the Bible or that Jesus was the Son of God. And we want to, but I want to tell you something, church family. There's an end. Amen. The rapture is going to take place. Amen. The tribulation period will take place. The second coming of Christ will take place. And Jesus Christ will set his kingdom upon this earth. And we will live and reign with him. And we will be with him for eternity. So I want to tell you something. It's not vain to serve God now. And it never will be vain to serve God. Because God blesses it. God recognizes it. And he'll not forget it. Listen, serve God with all your heart, with all your days. And the days that come that are weary, keep serving him. The days that come that seem to be more victorious, continue to serve him. The days that are mountains, serve him. The days that are valleys, serve him. Because you know why? It's never vain to serve God. I'm done. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul was getting close to the end of his ministry. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know why? Because it's not vain to serve God. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?